It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. This is, I believe, the 31st of May, and we're glad that you're with us this morning. It's time now for us to let you know that this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, be glad in it, and I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Heavenly, kind, loving Father, we thank you for this time to come together and to be able to open up your word. And we do pray that you will bless us this morning by feeding us fresh manna from heaven. Please anoint the words for our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, bless us to grow in grace and in wisdom. This we kindly ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
Amen. Our topic today, brothers and sisters, is Jesus versus money and power. Jesus versus money and power. We're reading Acts chapter 19. As we study these wonderful teachings of the Word, it is difficult to choose a title because there's so many themes in each chapter. I've chosen this theme, but there are many things to learn in this wonderful chapter. So let's, without any further ado, move forward. Father, be with us as we study Acts 19. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus versus money and power, Acts 19 begins, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. My brothers and sisters, we need to understand that there's a lot of themes in here. Some people have been baptized and wonder if there's anything in the Bible that speaks about a rebaptism. It is, and it is when you have understood new significant truth. It warrants a public statement to say, I have decided to follow Jesus all the way. And so you see rebaptism here in this particular chapter here. And if you've received new significant truth, turned away from some idol that you didn't even know was an idol, come to a knowledge of God's requirements in a significant way. Now, we're always learning. We're always growing. But when something significant happens, brothers and sisters, I'm not here to be your judge, but when you begin to understand that you've been violating God's commandments, for example, the Sabbath commandment, I believe that warrants rebaptism, even though you've been walking with the Lord. That's a significant truth in these last days, because it's necessary for our salvation that we are commandment keepers. Now, that doesn't save us. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. But being saved means that you have pardon, you have power, and you are promised presence. Okay, that's what it means. So when you say, I don't have to keep God's commandments, you're denying the gospel, because the gospel gives you power to obey. So when you accept God's commandments, you have accepted the full gospel that we have access today. We don't have access to yet to the present. That will happen at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. It is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, brothers and sisters. And so just want to share this principle with you. And as God leads us, we will have a baptism. He hasn't given us the details yet, but those who want to make a public acknowledgement that I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. God wants us to make that public statement. Now, I want to say this about the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people who are teaching the truth, a lot of preachers, elders, bishops, popes, pastors, prelates, whatever, that don't have the Holy Spirit. Friends, let me tell you something. You want to, if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia area, you want to come this Sabbath. And by the way, it will be on Zoom, but I need to tell you that the church has their own Zoom. I'll be speaking. The church is pastored by Pastor David Perch. It is Gospel Workers, Free Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they meet at 2020 Ritchie Road in District Heights, Maryland, okay? So those of you who are regular attendees here at Torso, we're going to be at that church on Sabbath. I'll be speaking. So that means it won't be starting right at 12. We'll have to just tune into their Zoom. We'll have to share that information maybe starting tomorrow as to what that is. But I want to give you my sermon title. The sermon title is, because it relates to our message today, we need to get back to fundamentals. The sermon title is The Mental Fun of Fundamentals. The Mental Fun of Fundamentals. You don't want to miss that, brothers and sisters, because, you know, here Paul is talking about fundamentals. And, baptism is a fundamental. But at the same time, receiving the Holy Spirit is a fundamental. And when you have the Spirit, let me tell you how you'll know you'll have the Spirit, brothers and sisters. If we go in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and as we look at Galatians chapter 5, let's see here. Let's see. Okay, verse 22. But the fruit, that means the result of, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, my friends, when we have the Spirit, and guess what? The Spirit guides us into all truth. We will not hold on to any preconceived idea. We won't hold on to anything we cannot prove from the Word of God. We will have a spirit of mercy instead of a spirit of Pharisaism. If there were some questions, we would err on the side of mercy. If there's some things we just can't figure out, we would err on the side of mercy instead of erring on the side of justice. You see, we lack the Spirit of God in the church, friends. That's a fundamental. And so we want to get back to fundamentals. We'll be talking about that on Sabbath. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. That is mentioned in Acts 2, first in the New Testament, and it was languages. This is not this meaningless gibberish that you see in churches, brothers and sisters. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't say these people were demonic, but that is a demonic spirit that they don't know they have. And because they don't know, God winks at their ignorance, okay? But now the Bible says in Acts 17:31, but he commands all men everywhere to repent. There's not a scripture in the Bible that would say that something comes over you and you just start speaking and you don't even know what you're talking about. The biggest chapter that people misunderstood on that subject is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And if you read it carefully, you will see that it describes what's going on in Acts 2. It even says that it's a fulfillment of Isaiah 28, starting with like verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and that's talking about teaching the truth to the people, okay? So that is what that is, brothers and sisters. And so when they began to speak, the gospel still needed to go everywhere, so they were able now to be instruments of blessing to be able to spread the gospel to the world. It is not the meaningless gibberish that you see in the holiness and Pentecostal churches. I'm not condemning those churches, brothers and sisters. I'm just telling you that if you study their history, they used to believe the truth. If you don't believe me, go to YouTube and type in Azusa Street Revival. Azusa Street Revival. That is the birthplace, or at least the birthplace of the major movement of Pentecostalism, and that was before there was much travel. And they thought that when they got that, they taught the people that when they were falling out and speaking, they said, this is a language. We just need to send you as a missionary somewhere, okay? So the experience that they had was not necessarily of God, but they taught the truth as to what the experience was. And it wasn't until there was later travel and world travel that they realized, wait a minute, nobody speaks this. Whatever they were saying, nobody speaks this. It must be a heavenly language. But they taught from the scriptures that speaking in tongues was an actual language of some other nation, okay? They were correct in that because that's what the Bible says. It wasn't until much travel came and they couldn't find anybody that spoke that stuff that they said, okay, well, it must be a heavenly language, okay? But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not a heavenly language. It is a language that allows people to hear the gospel, okay? And that's why if God would overtake your body so much so that you don't have any control over what you say, surely he would tell you what day is his holy Sabbath. That's one of the Ten Commandments. So you're saying that God would take over your body so that you would have no power to even speak your own words, and then you leave the church and go talk about somebody behind their back. Friends, it's not God. I'm telling you, it's not the Lord. But God wants to save people. And so this is something that we need to get back to. It's a fundamental. So I want to mention that. It says, and all the men were about 12. These are those who started prophesying. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when diverse people, many people, were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now let me tell you what it means when they were hardened. That talks about the hardening of the heart. Did you ever wonder why God said in Exodus chapter 4 and 3 and 4, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Let me see. I don't know if I can. I'm just going to go there real quickly. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. And I'm not sure if I, let's see here. All right, let me do it another way. I just want to show you some examples of what this means so that you can clearly understand. Okay, so Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do those wonders. What is he doing? Wonders, miracles, before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. So notice that the hardening of the heart was related to a wrong response to miracles. Look at now verse 3 of Exodus 7. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. So you see here, it was the wrong response to God's miracles connected with the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And look at verse 13 of chapter 7. Verse 12 says, for they cast down every man his rod and became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. That's a miracle. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart. See, connected with the miracle, all right, as the Lord had said. That was Exodus 7, verse 13. Now let's look at, we can go to 14. It says the same thing, verse 22 of the same chapter. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, so that God had worked a miracle to, I believe this one was turning the water into blood, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So it was a wrong response to the miracle. So brothers and sisters, the bottom line is when God hardens your heart, some people believe in this thing called predestination, that God predestined some to be saved and predestined some to be lost. No, God wants all men everywhere to be saved. For God so loved the world, didn't say some people, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that denies predestination right there, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's not just some, it's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, .. It goes on. So my brothers and sisters, God is not a person that says, okay, I don't want you to be saved. I'm going to harden your heart. What that means is God does miracles in your life, and it's up to you what response you give to those miracles. When we respond wrongly to those miracles that God has done in our lives, my brothers and sisters, our heart gets hardened. You know, sometimes the heart is hardened when you hear a truth that you don't want to accept, but you forget the great things that God has done and even the mercy he has given that allows you to even know the truth, brothers and sisters. Are you going to keep your heart soft and allow God to bathe you with his love and truth, or are you going to harden your heart? Everybody who's saved will have a soft heart. everybody who's lost will have a hard heart. You cannot be lost unless you harden your heart against the truth. Okay? So people who don't want to hear about the Sabbath, don't want to hear about the health message, they're hardening their heart. And so we have to keep soft hearts. That's why God can't help some people, because they will harden their heart. So very interesting. Wanted to just share that with you, brothers and sisters, because, you know, it says that some were hardened. Okay? That's what that means. Their heart was hardened and believed not. And this continued the space of 2 years, so that all, verse 10, which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You have people that will not teach the truth about the Sabbath, that tell you just put a handkerchief on the TV, and they're going to bless the handkerchief, and you just take that handkerchief, but send a love gift of $1,000 to the pastor who's already a multimillionaire, and then you'll get healed by the handkerchief. You see, brothers and sisters, that's a fraud. That's a falsehood. Don't fall for that. You know, this was needed at the time. Everybody couldn't get to Paul, so they could bring handkerchiefs. That's just what God did to show that Paul was authentic, but he was teaching the truth 100%, friends. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, that means just people who had no focus, just started drifting, some of the drifters, vagabond Jews, exorcists, they claimed to be having powers to cast out devils, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. See, they saw Paul preaching and casting out devils. They said, hey, this thing works. Saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. You know, and it can't be any Jesus. It's the one that Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? You see, my brothers and sisters, if we don't have the character of Jesus, just calling his name does not work. Now, I'm not talking about you're in trouble and you want help, and you really want help, and you really want to better yourself, and you call on the name of Jesus. But I'm talking about people who don't want to really change their ways and change their life, and you're calling on the name of Jesus, and you think that some great power is going to come just because you said J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is, the devil's going to jump on you, and he's going to say, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? You see, if we don't have the character of Christ, we're not trying to live for Christ. Just saying the word, the glossolalia coming out of our mouths, just because you said a word that is spelled J-E-S-U-S, that does not give you power if you are not wanting to submit to J-E-S-U-S. So the devils came down on them. Watch what happened. And this was known, it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. One man against seven, and he whipped them to the point where he would have killed them, and they went out naked and wounded. Brothers and sisters, you are no match for the devil or anybody possessed with the devil, but if you have Christ in your life, you have a defense against the devil. The devil didn't attack Paul. He attacked these people who were claiming to use the J-E-S-U-S word that Paul preaches, okay? But they didn't have Christ in their life. They were exorcists, vagabond Jews. They were evil sorcerers. They were using the power of divination, the occult. But then they saw that Jesus was saying Jesus was more powerful than that. So they thought they could say the word without accepting him as their Savior. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And we're reading verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You see, brothers and sisters, God is more powerful than those books of the occult. And if you got any of those, you need to burn them. You know, things that you don't need in your life, you need to burn it. Things that don't bring you closer to Christ, you need to get rid of them, brothers and sisters. Don't allow things to have which have an evil spirit to be prevalent in your life and in your house and in your existence, okay? Very important. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the heart, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them with that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. You see, when the Holy Spirit is poured out like it was at Pentecost, it's going to stir up the world, brothers and sisters. And it is coming again. It's called the latter rain. And there will be voices like yours and mine that will go out and tell the truth about Jesus, and it will culminate when the Sunday law is being pushed, because that will awaken the main issue in the people's mind. The majority of the people will still stick with tradition and will not follow, thus saith the Lord, and it will not be popular to be a faithful Sabbath-keeping Christian at that time. But we don't do what we do for popularity. We do what we do because it is what the Lord would do. All right, reading on. In the same time, there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, remember our title, Jesus versus Money and Power. You know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now, what were they doing? Making shrines for Diana. So they didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to stop getting that wealth that they got from those fake gods. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Friends, it's true. Anything made with hands is not something that should be the object of worship. Sometimes we worship our houses. Sometimes we worship our cars. Sometimes we worship our property. Sometimes we worship our husbands. Sometimes we worship our wives. We should only worship God, my friends. And we need to understand that things made with hands are not to be worshipped. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. You see, when they started accepting Christ, less fewer people were worshiping Diana. That means they were buying less of these shrines, and then they were feeling the pinch in the bank account. It's all about money and power, brothers and sisters. They wanted to have power over what Paul could preach so they could keep that money. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And this is important, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we want to go and be defending our brothers and sisters, and sometimes God says, I will defend them, you stay out. And sometimes we don't listen. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Most of the people didn't even know why they were in there. They knew a frenzy was happening, and a lot of people were shouting. They didn't even know what was going on. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried, great is Diana of the Ephesians. 2 hours they cried that. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Now, brothers, I went over to Greece, okay, and I saw a symbol of that image that fell down from Jupiter. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people still in that Greek mythology today. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. He's basically saying, listen, we already know that Diana's the goddess. Now, didn't know that she wasn't. But he said, why are we messing with these people? Just because they don't agree with Diana, they can't speak against Diana. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give account of this concourse. So he spoke, although he didn't know all the truth, God used him to say, wait a minute, we got to bring some order to this. We don't even know what these men have done. And we could be guilty of an uproar, uprising. And so we need to calm this thing down. See, even in the world, there are voices of reason, brothers and sisters, and God uses them to save God's people. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give account of this concourse. When he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. That's Acts chapter 19, brothers and sisters. Let's be faithful to the Lord. We're going to have an intermission at this time after prayer, and then we'll be coming back listening to a health message entitled Teach. By example from Sister Lenny, let's pray. Father in heaven, be with us today that we will be faithful. Help us to consider whether you're calling us to be rebaptized as we have learned new truth. If we have learned new significant truth, we ask that you would help us to make sure that there's no divination in our lives, that we are not submitting to any evil spirit, that we are always following that which is true. Help us, Lord, to prize Jesus more than money and power, and that we will follow the truth and follow Jesus no matter what, even if it costs us our lives. We ask that you will bless us, Lord, that we will understand that you have instruments in the world and even worldly people that have a voice of reason, and we are to just be led by your spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, the torso song is next, and we'll be back after that to hear Sister Lenny teaching by example.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, brothers and sisters, our title is Teaching by Example. That's from Sister Lenny, and we'll hear from her at this time.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Teach by example. In your association with unbelievers, do not allow yourself to be swerved from right principles. If you sit at their table, eat temperately and only of food that will not confuse the mind. Keep clear of intemperance. You cannot afford to weaken your mental or physical powers, lest you become unable to discern spiritual things. Keep your mind in such a condition that God can impress it with the precious truths of His Word. Do not watch others in order to point out their faults or errors. Teach by example. Let your self-denial and your victory over appetite be an illustration of obedience to right principles. Let your life bear witness to the sanctifying and ennobling influence of truth. When I read that yesterday, it took me back to when a person from church invited me to dinner. You know, once she said she was having my favorite, which is lima. Everybody knows I love lima beans. Love them. So when she said that, and I said, I accepted, you know, the invitation. I would have accepted if it wasn't lima beans. So anyway, so I go, my children and another person from church, and she's serving, you know, she put all of our, the beans in a bowl and everything, and I'm watching her. Now, I'm a person who steers my food, so I steered my food, and as soon as I start saying, oh, no, don't stare, you don't have to stare, I've already steered them up, and I'm looking at her, and as I'm watching her, I said to myself, what is the harm in steering your food? And as she's telling me not to steer, I'm steering my food. So I steered it and steered it, and I went to steer it, hold my spoon up, and there's meat on my spoon. And I'm looking at her, and I said, what is this? And she said, it's just a dripping. It's just a dripping. I said, excuse me. What is this? Why would you invite me to dinner? Serve me lima beans with meat in them. It was just a dripping. I said, why would you invite me to dinner? You know? And she said, well, I didn't think that it would be no harm. Okay. She said, well, maybe you can eat the salad. Maybe you can eat the salad. You think you can eat the salad? I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can eat the salad. So we sit. I'm sitting back down to the table by now. My children are looking at me. The other person is looking at me. And so I said to her, I'm looking down at the salad, and I said, I don't eat bacon bits. No, I said, I can't eat this. And she said, oh, why you can't eat it? And I said, well, it has bacon bits. Oh, no, they're the artificial. I said, and clearly, they weren't the artificial. And I thought to myself, what is happening here? Wow, you know. So by this time, I stand up and I said, you know, I told my children to come on and get your coats on. We're going to go. She said, oh, you leaving? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, we're going to leave. Now, normally, if I'm invited out to dinner, me and my children invite out to dinner, I won't cook Sabbath dinner. But that Thursday, my children wanted these things called haystacks, okay? I prepared all of that, and all of that was at the house waiting for them. And so I said to her, it's time for us to leave. I don't understand why you did what you did, but I can't stay here any longer. And so as I'm walking out the door, I made sure my children was out, and me and the other person was standing there. And I said, you shouldn't have did this. I don't know why you did this. And so she says to me, she says, well, you know, I had a friend, and she's always talking about, I don't eat this and I don't eat that. And I said, but I've never said that to you, ever. I don't say that. And she said, well, I gave her, She don't eat. She only eats turkey hot dogs. I gave her a beef hot dog and a pork hot dog, and she ate it. And I said to myself, oh, my goodness. And I said, she ate it because she trusted you. But clearly you are not to be trusted. And so and I left, and she shut the door. Well, the next day was Sunday, and I knew she would be in a board meeting. I could hardly sleep. And so I knew she would be in a board meeting. So me and the other person came together, and we came to the church. So when she come out the board meeting, we were the first ones she was seeing. And so I got up, and I walked towards her, and I said, I need to have a conversation with you. And she said, oh, okay. Was it about yesterday? And I told her, I said, you know, I am more concerned about your soul salvation than I am that food. I said, what you did was evil. It was just pure evilness. And I'm concerned about you. And she said, well, you need to be concerned about a lot of people. I said, I'm only talking about you. No one has served me meat in my llama beans. I said, I'm concerned about your soul salvation. You know, so when I read this, it just triggered. I was like, wow. So I said, you know what? I have to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you and pray for you. And she said, well, I appreciate it, and I'm going to be praying for you. But she said it kind of sarcastically. And so I said to her, I said, listen, you need to ask God to make changes with you. Because what you did was so mean and so evil. And my children are sitting there watching you. I said, that was so unacceptable to me. And I said, but I'm going to be praying for you. Just know I'm going to be praying for you. So I prayed for her and prayed for her. She has passed away since then, you know. But I prayed for her all the way until she passed away. When I read this message yesterday, I thought to myself, just like when we sit at people's tables and we don't complain and we still be temperate, they must be the same way with the people that's sitting to the table. You know, it goes both ways. It's not separate. It goes both ways. So this morning's message is coming from Council on Diet and Foods, pages 464 to 465. May you be blessed today as you move forward, being an example to others. God bless you.
Amen. What a powerful word. What a powerful word. Brothers and sisters, it is some evil people out there, and we have to be watchful. And thank you so much for that reminder. All right, friends, it is about 12 minutes, it looks like, to the top of the hour. We're going to start with roll call on Facebook. We have Virginia. We have South Carolina. We have North Carolina. We have Georgia. We have Louisiana. And we have Greece on Facebook, the country of Greece, that is, in Athens. And on the call, we have Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey, we have Ohio again, we have, I'm going to say this is Alaska is what it really is. And I want to say something about Alaska, brothers and sisters. This sister got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to hear this broadcast. I want you all to understand that. Okay, it's 2 o'clock in the morning when we started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So as it's close to 7, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. So praise God. God bless this dear sister. And we have Georgia on the line as well. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to share anything, go ahead and press star 6. If you have any comments on Facebook, just type them and we will read them. Of course, we'll start with Facebook. We have some good mornings from Virginia. We've got the same from North Carolina and from Georgia and from Louisiana. Praise God from all of them. Thanks. Good morning, I should say, from all of them. If there is anyone in face on the call, please press star 6 at this time. Friends, Wednesday is a good day to fast. We're not making a rule. we're just encouraging you. It's very good for your body and good for your soul to do some fasting. Now, maybe you just might want to eat raw for a meal. Maybe you want to skip a meal. Maybe you want to skip the whole day, do some juicing. But spend some time with God in prayer and make your meals a little lighter so your mind is a little clearer. We just recommend that, and if you do that once a week, it adds years to your life, okay? So just gives your body a little break from the, you know, burdens of food and digestion that are so easily beset us often, and I just want to encourage you to do that if God leads you to do. All right, there's no one in the queue at this time. We will go ahead and have our closing prayer by my wife, Undreamed Of, at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and open up your word. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to receive manna from heaven. We ask that you would continue to feed us spiritually, Lord, throughout this day as we go about doing ultimately service unto you. We pray that your spirit would lead and guide us, direct and instruct us always to that path of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that we had an opportunity to hear a very powerful spiritual lesson from Sister Lenny this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless her life and give her more and more spiritual discernment. We thank you that you have worked with her in these efforts of health and that she has been faithful in her efforts of working with you. We ask that you will take this time, Lord, to bless each of us, heal us with spiritual blessings, mental blessings, and physical blessings as we co-labor with you. Give us the strength that we need in areas where we're still weak, and may we trust that when we are weak, this is when your strength is made perfect in our lives. So help us, Lord, to believe that, to trust that, and to walk on faith, knowing that we will be healed as you would have it to be in accordance with your perfect will. We ask that you would be with those that are having difficulties, going through trials and tribulations, under severe pressure and burdens. We just pray that you will lift them, deliver them, strengthen them, encourage them. And we ask always, Lord, that we could just place everything upon you and just trust that you're working every single detail of our issues out. We thank you for being such a loving God, so kind, so merciful, so protective of our lives, just wanting us all to you because you have created us. We are your creatures, and we thank you, Lord, that you have thought so much about bringing us into this life for such a time as it is now. And we know that regardless of what we see out in the world, that you are still in control over everything. You have not forgotten your redeemed. You have not forgotten your people. You have not forgotten this world. And we thank you, Lord, knowing that soon you are to come and redeem us. We pray all these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song.
I will worship the Lord. I will worship.